This is Eugene Johnson, and you are listening to Metaclyason. I'm going to play a couple of songs first, and I'm going to dedicate it to the women around town. Of course, it's going to be the usual. It's going to be the usual one I start out with, which I dedicate to all the women here in Portland, especially since the Navy is in town, and that increases abuse rates, rape rates, venereal disease rates, and especially amongst the women, and also especially for the women of Iraq, because their rights have been pretty much destroyed by the fundamentalists there, and especially because of the current illegal war and occupation of their nation by our alleged United States government. So here we go.
Realize that women who are involved in the political struggle also have a struggle to face against you, because very often you haven't realized that there are many levels of the struggle. The struggle starts with yourselves, and the struggle starts with all of us. And part of the thing that we're always facing is trying to understand how to liberate ourselves within the context of a racist, misogynist society. And while we can feel a lot of solidarity with all of our brothers of color, the misogyny is perpetuated by you just as well as it is by the racist society.
Slavery is like going into the armed forces, if you like. The whole initial objective was to break us as people, so that we would accept whatever was going for us. And we managed to hold on to some things, and we're very proud of those things. I think that had we not become malleable, we would not have been able to survive on this continent. So that's the upside. The downside is, though, that part of that malleability was our conforming to the Moors and the points of view and the hierarchical concerns and the social structures of our masters, of the people who owned us. And the end result, in my view, is that we have adopted much more of their philosophy than we are required to. You can't live with masters without becoming like them. And we have to ferret out that portion of being like the masters that we are not happy with and not comfortable with and see as detrimental to us as a community, and move to change those things. And it will not be easy, but it certainly seems to me it's probably worth the effort.
What makes it really terrifying is that with all this focus on the power of white men that men of color have, there is an obsession to get that power, that white male power. With all that focus, what happens when and if they get that power? What happens to the women? It's not going to be a pretty picture. So what needs to happen is there needs to be new ways of looking at power, rather than just focusing on white male power.
Uno de los peligros más graves. vez para las mujeres de color yace en el hecho de ver a nuestros hombres frustrados con el poder blanco dominante, tomando represalias contra nosotras, así sometiéndonos al más bajo escalón en la escala de dominación. El asunto debe ser enfocado en comprender y rebelarse contra la forma en general toma el poder establecido y rebelarse contra estas formas de dominación.
To breed and bear papooses, to be carried quaintly on a board or lost to welfare. I have no feelings. The sinuous planes of my brown body carries no hint of the need to be caressed, desired, loved. Its only use to be raped, beaten, and bludgeoned in some B-grade Western. I have no beauty. The lines cut deep into my aged face are not from bitterness or despair at seeing my clan destroyed one by one. They are here to be painted or photographed, sold and hung on lawyers' walls. I have no emotions. The husky laughter, a brush of wings behind eyes soft and searching, lightly touching others, is not from caring, but from the ravaged beat of black wings rattling against the bars of an insanity that tells me something is wrong here. Someone is lying. I am an Indian woman. Where I walk, beauty surrounds me. Grasses bend and blossom over valleys and hills, vast and multicolored in star quilt glory. I am the keeper of generations. I caress the lover gently, croon as I wrap the baby. With quietness, I talk to the old ones and carefully lay to rest loved ones. I am the strength of nations. I sing to the whispering autumn winds. In the snow, I dance slowly, filling my body with power, feeling it, knowing it. I am the giver of life to whole tribes. I carry the seeds carefully through dangerous wastelands, give them life, scattered among cold and towering concrete. Watch them grow, battered and crippled under all the lies. I teach them the song. I help them to hear. I give them truth. I am a sacred trust. I am Indian woman.
Again, you are listening to Metaquiasin on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland. My co-host, David Liberty, is currently missing, and I'm your host, Eugene Johnson. And since the fleet is in town, I've planned a somewhat special show to talk about militarism and my personal perspective upon this type of behavior, as it were. And I wanted to discuss quite a few things, especially since there has been a 98% reduction in indigenous populations in this nation and in many more nations around the world, simply for the wealth of already wealthy white men. So anyways, this here, I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs from a book here and then a rant. This book is called The Potlatch Papers, A Colonial Case History by Christopher Bracken, from page 68, a section called Doctoring. And this is especially goes out to all of you people who are in the Navy who are currently docked on my river, the Willamette, here in the city of Portland, Oregon, for the festival that's happening on the other side of the river. Doctoring. Dawson says that if the Kwakiu communities are to give up the potlatch and become very valuable members of the community of the West, it will be necessary to establish industries among them where they can be trained to work like Western Europeans. The notion that industry is capable of lifting barbarity into civilization also governs MacDonald's report for 1882, where he notes that it is the industrious nature of the Ot that brings them nearer to the whiteness than the depraved and uncivilized Kwakutals. Or Kwakwels. Superintendent Powell, too, also known to laud the civilizing power of industrial education in his correspondence, but he advocates a more violent means of putting the potlatch to death in his annual report for 1882. As he describes the tour he made to the Kwakwelth agency in June 1882, Powell suggests that the government has little choice but to force the Kwakwaka'wakw to embark on the path to whiteness because they refused to do it by themselves because they weren't white. I was glad to be able to visit the Kwakwels in a ship of war, he says, not from probability of actual rebellion on the part of these otherwise wild and reckless people, but because a proper show of authority is still necessary when endeavoring to break up any of their old and demoralizing customs to which they seem devotedly attached. It is no longer enough to discountenance the old customs. They are to be the target of a whole apparatus of outright coercion. And, of course, this still happens today in Iraq and Afghanistan, etc. And then I got a little bit of a rant here to read. And then I'll play some special songs to go along with this. Oh, by the way, that last song is from Till the Bars Break. It's called Indian Woman. And the song before that, the very first song I played, I play on pretty much as a stand-in for every show, from Dancing on John Wayne's Head, The Fire This Time, was New Ways of Looking at Power. And from Till the Bars Break, it was Indian Woman by Jeanette Armstrong. Here we go. And all of this is kind of all over the board, but it is all connected, and it doesn't take a whole lot to see the patterns anywhere. It has been exposed that the U.S. government knew of Adolf Eichmann's whereabouts at least 2 years before the Israelis got their hands on him in Argentina. This, my friends, is not unusual. All of you with the military history, with family that fought or died in Europe during World War II, must know that the U.S. government and over 200 of its corporations were on both sides of the line. The U.S. government soaked up many Nazis after the war, and many Nazis retained authority in Germany as well. The U.S. government, puppet to the wealthy corporations, allowed over 200 corporations to fund both sides. Had they stopped them, the millions of lives murdered at the time by all sides would have been reduced drastically. But there again, already white, wealthy white males, American males, who rarely take up arms themselves, were making billions in free money from American taxpayers. In funding both sides, the war lasted much longer than it should have, and many of our relations would have come home or never even have had to go. I want to talk about Peter Brzezinka. Peter Brzezinka was a member of the Ustasha, a Roman Catholic Croat Nazi group. Oh, you all did know that were it not for the Vatican signing treaties with Mussolini and the Nazi Party of Germany, that the fascists would never have come to power, right? You all know that, right? Anyway, Peter Brzezinka was one cruel Christian piece of crap. In one night, at the most horrific death camp, allegedly even worse than Auschwitz, known as Jasenovac, Jasenovac, Peter Brzezinka, on August 29, 1942, cut the throats of 1,360 Serbs in a contest with his other Christian and cruel Catholic Croat comrades of death, known as the Ustasha. Now, mind you, I know that the diversity within the group is greater than the diversity amongst the groups. In other words, I know there are many more types of Christians than there are forms of Christianity. Many Christians are not cruel and horrible people, but many of their comrades are. Just like us Indians, just like any group, or our diversity within our groups is great. Peter Brzezinka, I managed to trace, made it to the United States under an assumed name, possibly in the early 1950s. That was as far as I could get. One can easily allege Peter had the help of the Vatican, because the Vatican helped many a Nazi war criminal escape if they had enough money. So my question is this. I know somewhere in the U.S. documentation, there is probably documentation beyond top secret that is protecting the genocidal criminal known as Peter Brzezinka. Should he still be alive? The reason, in my opinion, they will never release the documents that can find this criminal, if still alive, is because it will implicate the Vatican and U.S. government's complicity in genocide. Never heard of Jasenovac? Jasenovac, Jasenovac, was a death camp not only for the usual Jews and Sinti and Roma, but also for Serbs and Orthodox Catholics and many other targeted groups. When it was visited by Nazi death camp staff, they were amazed at the cruelty the Ustasha were capable of. Why do you never hear about Jasenovac? Some believe because this genocidal death camp is directly linked and ran by the Catholic Church. In other words, it implicates the Vatican, whose religion states, "Thou shalt not kill." Why do I bring all of this up? Because it is a clear and consistent pattern that has repeated itself throughout history and is currently being enacted by the fascist government currently known as the United States government. And the forces that bring about all this mass death and slaughter are docking here on my river, the Willamette River, and its representatives, the poor, are here to rape women and spread venereal diseases amongst prostitutes and willing sexual partners. Not all of them, see the above, but many of them, and they will not be put in check. Many will celebrate these machines of mass death and those that run them as well. That's right. You who are members of the military are indeed participating in much mass death. Not only are you and your ilk responsible for the innocents being slaughtered in Iraq like that of Haditha, so that your already wealthy white leaders can make billions in free money, I also know that most of you join not for ideals of freedom, the land, or being a warrior bullcrap, but because of financial difficulties and lack of opportunities in your communities. More often than not, recruiters go to poor neighborhoods, especially neighborhoods of color, to recruit. As was explained by Greg Palast, your votes are often discarded because most of you are people of color, and if you are stationed overseas, the government can easily discard your vote. So you are obviously not fighting for democracy. Besides, look what democracy has done for us Indians. Look what democracy has done for the blacks. How about that wall between Mexico and the U.S. and not between Canada and the U.S.? Interesting. Darkies to the south, whiteies to the north. Do you think that may be something to do with that? So, here you are, people in the military, to visit the Rose Festival, and like I said, many of you, not all, will be committing rape and spreading venereal disease throughout our community in the name of freedom and democracy. And while this government has hired you all to be members of the great genocidal machine to steal the wealth of others so that already wealthy white men can have billions in free money, you are also participating in the same machine that kills many of your own as well. How about your comrades being sent out after a nuclear test, being told there were trenches for them to take cover in that just happened not to be there? The U.S. government did medical testing on your comrades. They gave them cancer for their participation in the great U.S. killing machine. How about Agent Orange? How about depleted uranium? I have read so much about how this genocidal U.S. government tells me and all of us U.S. citizens to support you, but they have cut hundreds of millions of dollars from your health benefits and freely give it to the already wealthy white men. I have heard many a story from vets, as well as having read many a story about how you all are promised an education, but the hoops you have to jump through cut a majority of you out of the loop unless you keep your heads up and fight your own military system. But more often than not, you will lose. I've read of many of your wounded comrades having to pay for their own health care while still in the military. Your comrades have laid their lives on the line for this genocidal government and have to pay for the wounds they receive. You, in the military, are my fellow human beings. You are also part of a system that has murdered 98% of indigenous peoples to steal Indian land and occupy it with a brute force that still exists to this day. But wait, the system you work for also kills millions of innocents all over the world without ever declaring war against them. Many of them are children, like the one you will hear about in the song I will play dedicated to you. You, the men and women in the Navy docked in the occupied territories currently known as the United States on my river, the Willamette, and many of you will rape and spread venereal diseases just like in years past, and many of you will tell me you are fighting for our freedom, just like the little girl's freedom that you are about to hear about in this song I dedicate to you.
Mid-afternoon, February 25th, Manila, Philippines, and the good ship Rainbow Warrior is docked at Pier 15. And I, as ship's nurse, am summoned to the bridge to examine a child that has just arrived on board. And I meet Crizelle. She is one of 20 sickly children's faces all raised on or near abandoned U.S. military bases. She is very, very thin. Her pulse is weak, as is her grip. And she has missed a blood transfusion for a chance to see our ship. She is dying of leukemia and in the final stages. I want to take her to a hospital. child screams and rages. It's been her biggest dream for months to see our ship and meet our crew. And her doctor says at this point that's the most important thing Krizelle can do. Krizelle's an artist, and she draws for us a picture from her world. It is our ship on calm waters with blue sails unfurled. Sun shines through patchy clouds, a rainbow arcs across the sky. Above four smiling children with balloons, a flock of birds passes by. And as I look at her portfolio, I wish that I could laugh at her smiling self-portrait on the back of a giraffe. Krizelle's work is full of flowers, hearts, balloons, and bright suns. And everybody knows Krizelle's career is done. We take the kids in our inflatables for joy rides on the sea. Within meters of the U.S. Navy transport, Fort McHenry. And the port security approaches us to warn that the Navy is prepared to open fire should we return. Krizelle is napping on my bunk now, and I cannot free my mind from the deadly toxic legacy my nation left behind. In the land that child was born upon so quickly to expire, and the U.S. military killed her just as surely as if they had opened fire. Yeah, Krizelle will never wake up from the nap that she is taking. Her mother is crying. I am silent and shaking in the shadow and the shame her passing leaves behind. I give my life to the resistance. I will never change my mind. So many children in this world share the fate of Krizelle. Half the funds we spend on bullets could make all those children well. If her last day of excitement cut her life short, I can't tell. But there is no doubt in my mind about just who killed Krizelle. I wish you peace, I really wish you peace. I'm Lawrence Butch, Turk RN, Rainbow Warrior, February 25th, year 2000.
And the first song you heard in the last set was Rainbow Warrior by Danny Dullinger. And the second song was Exile by Blackfire from their CD One Nation Under. And it is 2:01. You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland. This is Metaquiasin. I'm your host, Eugene Johnson, and we are currently co-hostless. I have no idea what happened to David Liberty, but hopefully he's doing okay. And David, if you're listening, hey, what the heck happened to you? Anyways, got a little one more paragraph to read about the war, and then I will dedicate this song to the president and thief. The alleged thief of our government, George Bush, served in the military. During the Vietnam War, George W. Bush managed to get to the top of a 100,000 long name list into the Texas Air National Guard so he would not have to serve in a war zone of a war he openly supported. And then he went AWOL, absent without leave, which he has never clearly explained. And this man, who will never take up arms and fight side by side with you, will encourage you and your ilk to murder many, to create billions in free money for himself and his wealthy white corporate owners. So don't tell me you are a part of this great killing machine for my freedom. Look what democracy has done for us Indians, let alone blacks, Mexicans, Jews, Irish, Chinese, poor whites, and many other ethnicities. And now this government, to take away the focus from the impending war you are about to participate in with Iran, which will probably be a nuclear war, by the way, is telling me and many others that it is gay marriage that will be the downfall of America. Pay no attention to the nuclear war about to start with Iran. It is gay marriage that we must focus on. So this, GW, this song goes out to you. Rich Man's War by John Trudell.
Industrial streets, class lines, money talks, turning language to paper pieces. Rich man's war, free man society, raging violent insecurity. Nuclear man, nuclear woman, unclear how to act. Rich man's war, Pershing's cruising Europe, America, Russia, governmental nuclear views. Industrial allies cutting the world as though they cannot see blood flowing. Rich man's war. Central America bleeding, wounds same as Palestine and Harlem. Three Mile Island in El Salvador, Pine Ridge in Belfast. Rich man's war. The poor, starving for food, starving for land, starving for peace, starving for real. Rich man's war, attacking human, attacking being, attacking earth, attacking tomorrow. Rich man's war, thinking of always war, thinking of always war. With machines for ancestors, new unborn generations, chemical umbilical cords are only wiring, and your electrical progress. Human lives, burnt offerings to the god greed. With lies for ancestors, there is no truth in some futures. Rulers of minds feeding next generation souls to the control machine. Sacrifice ritual for the prop of technology. With isolation for ancestors, there's only the present bought by the credit material uses. Forging chains binding you to destruction. Compliments of your deities. The industrial priest.
Hey, 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 hey
have to face who we really are. Some point we have no choice. Distant star, distant light. In real world, we are human being. In shadow of real world, we are being human. Neon mask for neon flash. Distant thunder, distant cloud. Passion's rain. Drenched in possession, what we take is hard to do. What we do is hard to take. Someone's are crazy, or maybe we take turns. Dreaming about some kind of life, we say it could have been different. But it wasn't, because we weren't. No matter what, it turns out the same. A lot of things we said weren't true. Industrial stories in an electric instant. Neon mask. Neon flash. Neon flash. Thing is, nihilistic desires. Civilized, gone insane. Didn't imagine it turning like this. Some things start good and go bad. Some things get bad and stay bad. Are we caught in between living a lie or not living at all? Eliminated choices, lost in dreams we let go. Memories we never got to have, something else to think about. Waking up in industrial society, surrounded by angry days. Going through motions of not being. Wanting the best but not expecting it. Surviving paid for in dreams. Being like a world alone. Serving God with the devil to pay. Feeling like something in no place. What goes on in hell anyway? Thing is, it has to do with heart. We have to understand what hearts are for before we can get back to heaven or paradise or the power in our mind.
Criminal.
Yes. Hello, KBOO listeners. I am back.
Yes, he is.
This is David Liberty. I got distracted.
Yes, he did.
Came back from my lunch hour. And in the mail, I found a packet of information that a friend of mine had gathered from the Corps of Engineers Walla Walla District. And it contained a lot of information about the site. Not all of it was Chatter's stuff. He was co-authoring some material.
The Kennewick Man site you're talking about.
The Kennewick Man site, yes, in Kennewick, Washington. And it had some, the things I didn't have in my records were letters between Chatter's and the Corps. So there's correspondence in there when he was requesting the permit, how he requested extensions on the permit. Initial reports that he had to request from the Corps that he had to reply to. They were requesting, well, this was actually when the letter they sent to request all the remains back in their possession. And his objections and just some other go-betweens, the Corps and Chatter's. But also significant was that the other four or five sets of remains are mentioned once. In one letter, they're mentioned. And that's it in this whole 100-page, almost 100 pages. I mean, I didn't read the entire thing, but
yet
they had virtually ignored the other sets of remains that were found. They're not a part of any other report that has anything to do with the permit issued. Only the Kennewick Man remains have been studied.
Interesting.
So, yeah, clearly he's in violation of his permit for not including the other sets of remains in any analysis or study or record or data. We have no location information, nothing from the actual site itself, even a simple map.
All of which are felonies,
yeah.
Right? All of which are felonies, right?
If you're an archaeologist and you're doing archaeology, one of the first things you do is draw a map or start a map, any kind of map. You tie your site into some permanent marker. And, of course, without any map, it's clear that Chatter's did not do archaeology when he was out there under an archaeological permit.
But he's a doctor and he's a scientist.
Well, goody, goody. Doesn't mean he can't break the law.
Plus, yeah, like I mentioned, but so many people, every time I bring this up to people, more often than not, I get shot down because, well, Jamie Chatters is this great archaeologist, and what do I have against science? So, yeah, and I always bring up issues like
his emphasis was paleoclimatology. He was an expert at that. I'll grant him that.
I don't know if I'd even grant him that.
Forensic archaeology.
Yeah, because his decision at the time to make decide Kennewick Man was white was he was watching Star Trek Next Generation, saw Patrick Stewart, and went, "There's my Kennewick Man." So that's the science behind that, literally.
Well, plus his initial assessment of the remains were they couldn't be more than 150 to 200 years old, and he missed that mark by 8,000 or more, according to the carbon dating that was done.
Yeah, plus the carbon dating's inaccurate from what I hear.
The mass spectrometry.
Especially.
What is it? Special test. Nuclear mass spectrometry. Anyway, there's several different tests that they do. Yeah. And at least I did get the official results of that report and information that had been submitted by Chatters to the Corps. He did give them some things that he'd had in his records. He had done measurements on every single bone, it looked like. He had, you know, very detailed records of all the remains, but absolutely no record of the site. So, really, you can't make a lot of determinations if all you have are remains. You're very limited in what you can your conjecture is limited. But if you can tie it into the land and the surrounding soils and the context, other artifacts, anything that's related to the remains, then you can make some more concrete conclusions, although they're still, you know, theory and everything. We're talking about ancient history here. And without tying in those two bits of information with only the remains, all you can say is the condition of the remains. You can't really make any determination, even of its age, because DNA samples were taken a second time from Kennewick Man. And three different dating companies were supposed to give their information from if they could get some DNA and date it. And none of those agencies were able to obtain enough DNA to get a date on the sample. So that brings up, for me, it makes me wonder if that first sample that was sent out by Chatters, collected by Chatters, sent out by Chatters, that's the only one that came back with this age. The other three, which under more intensive scrutiny when those samples were taken, they were unable to get a C14 date or any analysis on dating because they couldn't retrieve enough DNA samples out of it. So Chatters may have just picked up a bone that he had laying around and given it to this first agency who did the dating. And it, you know, this material may not even be related to the Kennewick Man remains, what Chatters sent off to be sampled. As far as we know, there was nobody watching over his shoulder or helping him take the sample, which has to be completely clean and unhindered, and you can't touch it. You're not even supposed to breathe on the sample. And even something like ash on your fingers from a cigarette can greatly increase or decrease the dating on a C14 date.
But when I question Chatters about the dating process, he things like that, you know, higher carbon.
How dare you question? This is absolute.
Yep, that's basically what he said. You know, that's basically what he said. And then he started turning his back on me because I asked him a lot of very, very pointed and deliberate questions that he refused to answer.
And now, since nobody can confirm that date, it still should be an issue. Of course, people think that I'm just a conspiracy theorist in this case when I really know a lot about it in the law and what happened, and I've been close to it from the very start. So I do have some credibility in this case.
Absolutely.
And now my file just increased by about 100 pages, which is pretty cool.
Right on. You'll have to read it and give us a report on the next show.
Yeah, I just was filtering through it before I came and threw everything down and ran down here and didn't even bring the report with me. I was just so panicked thinking, oh no, it's 2 o'clock, I'm supposed to be at KBOO. So I finally made it.
Well, if you haven't been listening, I've been doing an anti-war show.
Yeah, good idea.
Because the fleet is in town and we all
know
what happens.
Yeah, you see all their guns?
Big, beautiful guns. Guns are great. Guns are good. Guns are like God. In fact, maybe I'll read God a little later.
Plus,
poetry.
Those soldiers in their camo gear, which you can hardly see them because they're so well hidden there on the dock. Two of them I saw with their fingers on the trigger of their M16.
Right on. I feel safer.
About the other half of them had their hands on the grips with their finger pointed straight. So it wasn't on the trigger, but it was right there handy.
Boy, I feel a lot safer. How
and
about
then
you guys?
Another 15-20% of them that I saw didn't have their hand on their gun because they were going from one place to another. They were, you know, in transit or something, so they didn't have their hand on their gun. There were no ships to protect at this time. When their finger was on the trigger, there were no ships docked. There were only fenced off areas to keep us dangerous civilians from getting close to the ships, and no ships. And these guys have their fingers on the trigger of their M16, and they don't even have a ship to guard.
Yeah, like Arlo Guthrie said, I want to kill. I want to kill. I want to kill.
You're hired.
You're hired. We'll send him to Haditha.
Also, they had a couple Coast Guard Zodiacs with a turret on the front, turret on the back. So there were double gunners running around there ready to
machine
you with their 20 millimeter or 30 or 50 millimeter. I don't know what size gun it was, but
take your kids down to the waterfront and have them enjoy having guns pointed at them by the U.S. military who are supposed to be protecting us.
Well, it was pointed at ground level as they were sweeping. The guns were pointed right up at us, the whole crowd there on the waterfront.
Woohoo!
So, yeah, I felt really safe, Eugene, knowing those guns were pointed right at me.
Yeah, you terrorist, David.
Yeah. So I was happy to get out of there with my life and all my limbs.
Howdy. Boy, howdy.
I don't think it's necessary for a guardsman or military to have their finger on the trigger downtown during the Rose Festival when there's no ships to guard. I just don't see the point.
I don't even see the point of them having their fingers on the trigger.
It's only to instill fear.
Yeah.
It's to scare us. And it's intimidating.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, the other thing I do with these guys is I look them in the eye and give them the nod, see what they do. A couple guys nodded back. A couple other guys just stared right at me. Didn't flinch.
I want to kill. I want to kill.
I'm too good for you, civilians.
Yeah.
Don't even look at me.
I want to kill.
Behind my mirrored sunglasses, you don't need to know what's going on behind them. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Move along.
Well, I have an interesting story to talk about the Nevada test site a little later. And
It's been in big news with whether it's really canceled or not.
Yeah, we'll find out. Especially since they still talk about doing testing in general.
Yeah, they'll find some way to do it somewhere under guard or in secret.
Yeah. But this next song, I want to play you a song, and then we'll discuss you and your drum there.
Oh, listen to this guy.
Woohoo! And anyways, this next song by Joanne Shenandoah is called Peace and Power. And I want to dedicate it to Aaron Watada. Hopefully I'm pronouncing his name right. Who's in the United States Army and is going to be deployed in Iraq. He is a lieutenant and he is the first officer to refuse to go to fight in this unjust, genocidal, illegal, horrific war.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Indeed. So here you are, Lieutenant Aaron Watada.
Gonna call it
We are back. There's a caller on the line. I can't. Oh, there, he's gone. Sorry about that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Soul-filled music.
Yeah, and I didn't even get to talk to you about your drum. So what are you doing with your drum today, David?
Oh, well, yeah. I thought I could do a little round dance song.
Okay, and then I'll read a couple of poems and we'll play some more songs. Let's see if we can get it up okay, as it were.
More vocal than drum here, but
thank you, David.
It's usually done in four verses, but my voice just isn't what it used to be when I was younger.
When
I'm
I was
old young. Man now, almost 50. Hey, did you hear the scaffold fisheries open for commercial?
Oh, sweet. Tell us
about
it.
Tribal fishermen. If you guys want to go up the river, listeners, Bonneville, above Bonneville, North Bonneville in Looside has fish for sale. They opened up a platform scaffold hook and line fishery, the compact states of Oregon, Washington, and the tribes, so that the tribes could have a commercial fishery for the spring Chinook, which made a rebound. Eugene, they actually came back.
Right on.
There's been 9,600,000 springers come up late.
Sweet.
Although some of them now, they might be summer Chinook by now. So it's hard to tell at this point between springs and summers.
They should wear tags.
Yeah, they should identify themselves as they pass the dam.
Maybe if we got some of those military guys out there with their guns, they could
force it out of them. Interview each one of them personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the sale is going on for 3 days today, or wait, it's through Sunday.
Woohoo!
Oh,
Salmon.
Yeah, so this will be the only springers commercial chance you'll get to buy fish from tribal members. So head upriver if you can. They've got sales at Cascade Locks, North Bonneville, the Dalles, all the way up to the Tri-Cities.
Right on.
So this is your big chance, folks, to catch the last of the spring Chinook and your first chance to get out and buy it commercially.
Sweet.
Yeah. So did we talk about Sherman coming to town?
No, not yet. You might want to announce that.
Just briefly.
We're trying to get him on the air for that day,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we'll try to get him on that day. I haven't got a reply yet from his website. The 2006 Oregon Hate Crimes Conference coming up. the 21st through the 23rd at Portland Community College, Cascade Campus. Sherman is going to be speaking the second day that evening. And I heard that it's a $10 entrance fee to get into the Oregon Hate Crimes Conference. Their theme is Uniting to Control Bias and Hate in My Community. The keynote speaker is Dolores Huerta. For more information, contact Portland Community College, Mandy Ellertson.
Sweet.
And the only other thing I had was Carrie Dan's coming to town. Is that still going on this?
Absolutely, still
weekend?
Going on Sunday.
Sunday, June 11th.
Even though she was arrested at the Nevada test site. Could you give the address and everything for that?
Oh, yeah, St. Andrew's Church. This is
Carrie Dan and Louise Benelli.
7 p.m. Oh, I don't have the address here for
Sunday,
the,
June 11th, St. Andrew's Church. I believe it's 806 Northeast Alberta.
Okay.
I'll go check that out in a few, but I'm pretty sure we don't have that. Or the date, excuse me, the address, 806 Northeast Alberta.
But there is information if you want more. Contact www.wsdp.org.
Yep, Western Shoshone Defense Projects.
And you can get more information on her schedule. Indeed. She's probably going up to Seattle or Spokane or making the rounds.
Yeah, all the way down into California.
Yeah?
Up and down the West Coast, pretty much.
All right. Blessings on you, Carrie Dan. We love you.
And same to you, Louise Benelli. Anyways, I went to the Nevada test site over Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, thanks for going, Eugene. You stopped it. Oh, yeah. Way to go, brother.
It was
all your fault.
Delayed by when we were heading down there and allegedly canceled by the time we got down there. But we
consider the source. Yep. They say it's canceled, but it's the administration that's telling us that. So.
Yeah. We protested anyway because it's Western Shoshone land. It belongs to them. And the United States government illegally is occupying their nation and has bombed it severely throughout the last 60 years or so using nuclear weapons.
And they're
rounding up
the stock of tribal members who have been grazing on their own land and stealing their stock.
Destroying pinyon pines down there because, as the Bureau of Land Management person said in the film about Carrie Dan, about a meeting 30 years ago, stated, the United States government can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. And it's getting worse all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went down there.
So you went down.
And it was really windy, and it's kind of funny because when Corbin Harney showed up, there was about 30 of us that had to hold down his tent as people pounded in stakes and everything else. I mean, it was so windy. It was so windy the whole first day we got there. It was just amazing, the power of the wind. And my honey and I, Rhonda, went to the front line to see what it was like. And made a little prayer there while one of the soldiers was fingering his weapon, you know, making sure we didn't cross the line.
That's right. Keeping it ready.
Yeah, and it's really weird vibe down there. And so I wrote this little poem about it because my honey and I received racism on both sides of the line from the peace camp and not a whole lot from the peace camp, but a whole lot from the military behind the line.
Uh-huh.
So I call this little
Tell
poem.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, and I'm going to play another Black Fire song after I do this.
All right.
This one's called Indian Education in a Radioactive Nation. The desert is vast, abandoned towns, houses with boards and broken glass for windows where looking out or in seems like some sort of crime. It is awe I feel at the vast beauty of a world that would unconsciously cook my body and soul in its brutal and loving summer heat. Abandoned homes and businesses line the valley floors between naked hills, bare to the creator and earth. Bare yet full of life, tough and brave, and abandoned cars and houses and businesses fallen down, collapsed with random acts of casinos and brothels. And here on the desert floor, a flourishing business of mass slaughter and death, munitions dumps, playgrounds with twin 50s gleaned from old ships for children to learn to love the art of killing their fellow human beings. But there are no children to be seen in the desert heat that isn't that hot yet. It is in this late spring. where the town of Hawthorne is decorated with giant bullets from the big cannons of battleships and all sorts of military attire, and a town where the Naval Warfare Center houses its fields of death and slaughter just down the road from the nuclear test site ran by the Bechtel Corporation. Death. It's good for business. Here in the land of the Shoshone, here on their land, on their land, a land not recognized by the officiates of death, the business of mass slaughter is perfected into a sickening art form where liberal and genocidal white men of peace and war ridicule my honey and I in a racist and classist form. We stand divided from our imperialist genocidal occupiers and our peaceful genocidal occupiers who hand out insults both peaceful and genocidal like handing out candy to children on Halloween. Here on the desert floor, on Shoshone land, we are looked down upon by all forms of occupiers who have come to save us from ourselves or slaughter us for themselves. But they haven't finished us off. Though they've tried for so long and we kneel before their valley of death and pray for the land and one and all, to the voiced insults of soldiers and cops behind the line, an illusion, a line where on the other side people are successful and drive SUVs and fast cars and insult us as they pass, and I know they face greater cancer rates. I know their fast cars and SUVs come at the expense of many slaughtered throughout their brief illegal time in creating higher cancer rates amongst those who feel the fallout in towns nearby and long gone, abandoned with broken glass and boards for windows, cars sitting so long their tires have melted away. We knelt before the line with insults from those on both sides carried in our soul. I try to protect our pipes from my negative thoughts, as I know when we put them back, we ain't nothing but a couple of ludicrous red niggers to both sides of the line, where peaceful and warlike genocidal white men are ready to explain to us the inferiority of our place in our world. It doesn't end for us, as our world has become a giant boarding school in a radioactive nation.
Locked inside your shadow, echo reaching into time. often ignored. What is the future if it's made from wars?
Hi, I'm J.J. Johnson of K-Blues Jade Place.
And I'm Shaheed Hamid of The Essence of Soul. And on Thursday, June 29th, from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m.,
we'd like to invite you to Blues on the Boo.
We'll give you some history, some commentary, but most of all, some of the best blues in town with such great blues musicians as
B.B. King,
Coco Taylor,
Muddy Waters,
Etta James,
Robert Cray,
Denise LaSalle,
Bobby Bland,
Linda Hornbuckle,
Buddy Guy, and much, much more. This will be a preview of the Waterfront Blues Festival, which begins on Friday, June 30th.
So if you love the blues, join us, Shaheed Hamid and J.J. Johnson, on Thursday, June the 29th, from 6 p.m. until 11 p.m. for Blues on the Boo here on Community Radio 90.7, where it all started. The Blues, the Boo, and you, baby, tune in.
Woohoo! Good stuff, folks. And now I'm trying to remember. Okay, I had to look at the lineup we have coming for music, make sure what we had there. Have a few announcements. June 16th through 18th, 2006, 36th Annual City of Roses Delta Park Powwow and Encampment.
Hey, the powwow's coming to town.
Yeah, that's a week from tomorrow.
Hookah, everybody dance.
Indeed. So go down there Friday the 16th. It starts at 7 p.m. Saturday, grand entry is at 1 and 7 p.m. And Sunday, it says high noon. That sounds good to me.
High noon.
High noon.
Good time to start.
Yeah. Delta Park is in northeast Portland. Over by...
Pretty much north.
Yeah, across the freeway from Portland International Raceway.
Yeah, across from Jansen Beach. Can't miss it.
Yep.
Head for the drums.
Indeed. Woo! And the smell of the fry bread. And here are some announcements. PSU Native American Graduate Honor Day this Saturday, June 10th at 5 p.m. at the PSU Native American Student and Community Center located on Southwest Jackson between Broadway and Park. Registration is beginning for fall soccer at the Native American Youth Association Family Center. The team is for boys and girls grades 6 through 8. Registration forms must be turned in by June 15th. No sign up now. Oh, so sign up now.
So, sign up now.
Yeah, I got to get my S's and N's corrected up there. Contact Dave Higgs at 503-288-8177, extension 215, or pick up the forms at NIA located at 4000 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. Mashika Tiawi would like to thank KBOO and the listeners for helping to make their fundraiser such a fun event. They plan to rent the Portland Spirit again September 2nd, so look forward to that, folks.
Ooh, they should invite us.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that would be nice.
And sad news, Eugene, Billy Preston died. Billy Preston died. I got to see Billy live in concert in Reno.
Right on.
Years ago.
Right on.
And he was one of the piano players that I always loved and respected. And, geez, he's just a great guy. It's too bad liver failure, I think, or kidney failure, or something like that.
Yeah, Robin played a tribute show to him today.
I wish I'd heard that, darn it.
You were busy reading documents.
Yeah, I was. So, Billy, we miss you, brother. Thanks for your contribution to this world.
Indeed. Thank you very much. And... man, we just don't have enough time in the day. Oh, I wanted to put one more thing out there for all you veterans who are out there and are still, or military personnel, I should say, that are looking to get out and to avoid this genocidal maniac of a war happening in Iraq and soon to happen in Iran.
Join Lieutenant Wadada. What's his name? Lieutenant Wadada. I got to remember
Aaron
that guy.
Aaron Watada.
Yeah. Our hero.
Yes, indeed. Somebody who should be looked up to.
That's right. Soldier hero.
Indeed. And so if you're interested, if you're in the military and interested in getting out, Northwest Veterans for Peace will hopefully be able to help you. You can contact them. They have a website. It's simply peaceveterans.org. Or you can contact them via email, wnvp@teleport.com. Or you can phone them at 503-324-1804 or 503-656-9785. These guys can help you out if you are looking to get out because of this illegal action currently happening in Iraq. And, well, pretty much all the U.S. military actions have been illegal.
Yeah, and if any more occur, they'll be illegal too, what the plans are from what I've heard.
Most likely.
Yeah. So we want to thank our veterans too for their sacrifice and for the putting in that giant peace sign over there by the East Bank Esplanade.
Woohoo!
You seen that?
No, I haven't.
That sucker's big.
Right on.
I wanted to get a picture of it. I couldn't stand back far enough to get it in my camera lens.
Where's the East Bank Esplanade?
It's just at the east end of the Steel Bridge.
Ah.
And it's a beautiful big grass peace sign with flowers on the inside.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
So it's great. I'm really glad that the Veterans for Peace are the ones who did that.
Sweet.
Got it going. Now it's a park that they will maintain themselves
right
in
on.
Perpetuity. Everything goes right.
Peace. It's what's for dinner.
Yeah. It's what the living need.
Indeed. Indeed. And those who want to live.
Yeah.
So this is a poem called God. I've read it on the air.
Another poem, all right.
Yeah, I've read it on the air before. Maybe you could give a little drum beat behind this or something if you want.
Sure.
You can get a good rhythm going.
Round dance or straight?
Either way. God. One. There is a bullet here at work, about 5 inches long, 1.5 inches in diameter. It probably weighs over 1 pound. I place the tip against my forehead, over my heart, at my hip, leg, shoulder, arm, this little piece of metal created with one purpose in mind, to tear the life out of our fellow human beings. And I hold this big, flesh-destroying bullet and know there are many piercing the flesh of many to fill the bank accounts of the wealthy who pay the loyal to pull the trigger so they don't have to. And I hold this big flesh-destroying bullet, this God, this taker of life, because God is a thief. But Americans forget the creator of God and love the killer. We love our killers. Love, love, we love our killers. I hold in my left hand a sleeping, dormant, armor-piercing, flesh-destroying American God, more powerful than the Bible, more powerful than Jesus, because America loves to kill and loves death more than life, because what kind of lover of life would create such a God? God, God. We thank you, O Lord, for the bounty we are about to receive. 2. I carry God in my pocket. I carry God on the dashboard of my truck. I carry God in my bag. I carry God in my left hand. I carry God in my right hand. God sits on my dresser. God sits on the counter at work. God points at a darkie. Every time the trigger is pulled, it's the second coming. God is great. God is good. 3. I drive to work. I drive for a living, and the blood pours in and out of my gas tank, and the tears flow in and out of my gas tank. My heart is with the people of Fallujah, especially when I hear reports of women and children in the streets with guns protecting their homes from the American-led slaughter. Kill the women and children first. They're easier to kill, and it strikes terror into the hearts of the men. May God never find your flesh or your homes. So I apologize to you, people of Fallujah, for the crimes the government that claims to represent me is committing against you. I apologize to you, the soldiers who are enacting this crime for the criminals. For the most part, I believe you don't know what it is you are doing. I am happy to say, however, I hold in my hand one God that will never complete its intended purpose. Let us bow our heads and pray. When the slaughter is over, maybe America will put a statue of 2 Iraqis looking off into the distance for the coming of the Americans. I just pray you don't have to face the 98% reduction in your population that we Indians had to in order to receive such an honor as a statue like the one in Washington Park of 2 Indians looking into the distance for the coming of the white man. Thanks, David. And this next song I'm about to play is from JSK, his CD Smoke Signals. We tried to go out with it on the last show. Oops, on the last show.
We're gonna hear the whole thing today.
Yeah, today we get to hear the whole thing. So here we go, JSK, and Skin Is My Sin.
The song is dedicated to anybody who died in a struggle. Red, black, brown, and yellow, white. My life was dropped, even hard at best. I'm from a place where you always had to guard your chest. In the streets of the reds, it's just like the hood. Life ain't been good, so it's understood that one day, Jay will be on this earth. And I'm afraid to die, but I've been cursed since birth. And I don't wish this life on my worst enemy. But my skin is my sin, so you no friend to me. And it's hard being black, but try being red. Since Columbus came, four Indians dead. And I don't want your pity, I'm just trying to survive. I cry as I watch all my people die. Look at this bottle of gin, to forget all my sorrows. I made it today, and I'm not sure about tomorrow. Swallow my pride, I strive for a better day. God, I know it can't get no worse than yesterday. Today.
Lord, I hope you hear me. Forgive me for my sins. The things I did in life, I never meant to do to them. Lord, I hope you hear me. Forgive me for my sins. The things I did in life, I never meant to do to them.
Look at all the boys enslaved by the bottle, or in the prison cells of rage. Seeing our race, look at me stumbling. Their baby's mother's bleeding, bruising, stomach's grumbling. Negativity's hard, nerd that nobody sees. The problems that they solve that I see around me. Alcoholic schemes, people figure to have no vibes. Problems feed evil, making life a hard fight. You'll forget the world, or FTW. Fighting plural, still yet us natives will be struggling, unite as a race. Break down those tribal walls, despite the mace. Stay strong and don't fall. If you hate what looks around you, you can create better things. So smokes and fools be clowning you. Ignore the reaction and stay real. Now on the other side of the door, not relenting game. Kill.
Lord, I hope you hear me. Forgive me for my sins. The things I did in life, I never meant to do to them. Lord, I hope you hear me. Forgive me for my sins. The things I did in life, I never meant to do to them.
I was big trouble in a little ghetto place. Growing, not knowing I was blessed with my race. Never trust blue eyes. I took a look around. Drug addicted alcoholics. No crackers in my town. I got a frown on my face. It's got to be in a rage. I wanna kill for it's real. So give God a pay out of your age. I got plans to be rich. I'm selling drugs with my thugs. No love for a snitch. And all my homies get drunk and talk a commit. And I'm sitting here committing to my life of babysitting. Baby quitting. Please understand why your daddy slid. Make it honest living. Double down all these cards given. Trying to stack some chips. And smoke a little bomb 24-7. Tell I'm sitting in a box to my mom. Am I wrong? Cause I chase these dividends. With little ends and little friends. My skin is my sin.
Lord, I hope you hear me. Forgive me for my sins. The things I did in life, I never meant to do to them. Lord, I hope you hear me. Forgive me for my sins. The things I did in life, I never meant to do to them. Lord, I hope you hear me. Forgive me for my sins. The things I did in life, I never meant to do to them. Lord, I hope you hear me. Forgive me for my sins.
Hey, you have been listening today to the Anti-War Show and Kennewick Man and Go Out and Buy Some Salmon Show.
Yeah, the combo.
This is Metaquios, and I'm your host, Eugene Johnson.
And I'm your co-host, David Liberty, and we're bringing you contemporary issues, contemporary music, and even a little traditional music.
Indeed. And we're about to head out here.
Yeah, it's been good. Sorry I was late.
Well, you know, you were reading documents,
that's
man.
That's the way it goes.
Important stuff.
That's right. So
important stuff.
Our listeners are patient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So keep your heads up out there. keep an eye on what's going on happening around town. Get out there and do what you can to stop all this horrible crap happening in the world, because all of you do have the power. All of you were born to save the world, as Helen Caldicott would say.
Absolutely.
You'll be hearing from us in 2 weeks, and you'll be watching us on MCTV Channel 11 Live.
That's right.
Next Thursday from 6 to 7.
We will be featuring the StreamNet Library on Native Nations.
Yeah, the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission Library. And this last song goes out to my little girl, Daddy's Little Angel by Nate.
Daddy's love, Adriana, is the biggest blessing. Feeling so proud and strong for my baby.